Welcome to the Herbal Womb Wisdom Podcast, where we explore the embodied practice of herbalism with the womb at the center for folks who are new to herbs or herbalists in the making. This is a place to become empowered to include herbs and natural therapies in your personal health and, most importantly, to reconnect to the deep wisdom and healing capacity of your own body and the earth. I'm your host, clinical herbalist and integrative health educator, Kyalea Honeybee. Let's dive in. Hi, beautiful friends. Welcome. Welcome back. If you're returning, welcome. Welcome. If you're new, very grateful to be here again with you today. And wow. It has been a very big week in the world. If you're listening real time, October 2023, it's very possible that you've been experiencing a range of emotions this past week. We have been witnessing incredible tragedy after tragedy, and I'm not going to go into the details because that's not necessary, but I do want to acknowledge the deep grief and potentially anger and loss and just profound feeling that has been coming up for many of us this week. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't been giving yourself some time, some self-space, some tending, some nourishment, some reflection on what you're really needing to keep yourself resourced, to please do that for yourself and to tend and nourish those around you, especially those that are hurting. But it really is in times like these that feel so destabilizing, that feels so uncertain, that we need to call ourselves back into ourselves, into our center, and also to the earth, to look to the earth for guidance, to look to the seasons for guidance, to look to our own womb spaces for guidance, to really tune into that sense of deep connection and belonging to ourselves, belonging to the earth, and belonging to each other. I'm not going to go on and on about this, but I just want to invite you, if you haven't taken a moment to give yourself some self-care, and I don't mean self-care like go take a bubble bath and use some essential oils. I mean self-care like get outside, put your phone down, put your tech down, get outside, place your feet on the earth, feel yourself held, feel yourself connected, deeply rooted to this place that is your nurturing home. Allow yourself to take a nice deep breath into your belly. Look up at the sky. Look out at the trees or the landscape around you. Exhale with a sigh. And then inhale deeply again into your belly. Really allowing yourself to receive the vitality, the life force, the sense of hope and possibility that is ever present from the earth, from the plants, from the trees, in relationship with these trees. Allow yourself to exhale, sigh out anything you don't need, and then return back to your body, to your breath, naturally inhales and exhales, just natural. And remember that you can always come back to this place. You can always come back to the place of connection, reconnection to the earth, no matter where you are, no matter how challenging or confusing or unknown you are experiencing your life to be in any given moment. You can always feel your feet, your sits bones, whatever is touching the ground below you or the surface below you, you can always feel your connection to the earth. You can always take a deep breath in and release with an exhale. You can always receive the vitality and the possibility of a new breath. Okay, so I hope that that was a little bit helpful for you, at least to have one practice that you can come back to. Obviously, there are endless other ways that you can be supporting yourself and your community and beyond in this time, but we're going to go into today's episode because I am excited. I'm excited to share it with you. I think that it's going to be a nice reprieve from the heaviness of the news and the world around us right now. Today, I'm talking to Bree Martinez. She is a nature connection facilitator. She takes people on backpacking trips and also does a lot of cycle awareness work. So really works to kind of bring the two things together, which I love. Of course, you know, I love being outside and I love being with plants. So she loves that too. She just takes people more on like backpacking trips. And even she talks about a surfing trip she's going to be taking people on next year, specifically around connecting to their cycles and surfing, which is pretty cool. And so today we're going to be diving into her perception of the menstrual cycle, which is also totally relevant to the seasons of the year, totally relevant even to the seasons of our womb phases, which of course I talk about at times. So she has her own lens that she kind of looks at the cycle through, and she's going to talk about that. And what's really neat about it actually is that in her perception, There's both benefit and gift to each of the phases. And then she also talks really a lot about the shadow sides of the phase. So maybe we're talking about the benefits and the beauty and the energy of the follicular phase, but then we're also going to talk about what are the ways that we can feel imbalanced in this time and how can we notice that? What are the basically keys that can tell us that we might be going out of balance, and whether that's specific to our menstrual cycle and maybe we experience that during the follicular phase, or it's just something that we can relate to in our life, like some kind of behavioral pattern or quality of ourselves or a way that we identify ourselves that might actually be a little out of balance. I feel like this episode goes beyond, even though we really base it in the menstrual cycle, I feel like it really goes beyond the menstrual cycle. And the archetypes can actually be something that are more a support for self-awareness throughout our entire lives. So I really encourage you to listen to this from that lens of, oh, wow, are there parts of this that I relate to? Do they relate to my menstrual cycle? What is my unique menstrual cycle like? And then how do I relate to these qualities, these archetypes at other times during my life? And what can this teach me? So I hope that you enjoy this episode and kind of come at it from a beginner's mind, because that is how we learn. Okay, disclaimer. Nothing that we share today is medical advice. I am an herbalist. Bree is a nature connection facilitator and a cycle awareness mentor. Everything is just for your own information, education, and personal empowerment for you to feel into your own body, really tend and listen to your own body, because your body knows best what is true and right for you. And if you have any specific conditions or concerns, seek out a practitioner that you want to support you. Second disclaimer is there are gendered pronouns 100% used throughout this episode. The archetypes themselves include gendered pronouns. So words like mother, words like maiden, words like crone, words like enchantress, these are all used. Even wild woman are all used throughout the episode. So just a heads up so that you're aware of that. This is absolutely relevant for anyone with a menstrual cycle or anyone who just is interested in exploring archetypes in themselves. Okay, friends, with no further ado, here's the interview.
Welcome, Bree. I'm so grateful that we're doing this. I'm really looking forward to hearing some of your embodied wisdom in relationship to feminine archetypes and just our cycles.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here too.
So let's start by you introducing yourself, just what your background is, what your work is now, and why you do what you do.
Well, my background is a lot in outdoor experiences. So I worked as a summer camp counselor, outdoor educator, wilderness therapy, and I love bringing those experiences to people, especially women, because a lot of times we don't have the confidence to go out there and do those things because we're not invited into those spaces a lot. Growing up, I know that that was kind of a case for me, like feeling unsure or unconfident of what I was doing when I went outdoors. And so I like to bring those experiences to people, especially women. I do a lot of nature connection practices with people. So really diving deep into not just going outdoors and having fun, but really getting to create relationships with the natural world, and also menstrual cycle awareness for women and getting to know ourselves on a really deep level.
Mm. And so what are you offering right now?
I have a one-on-one coaching program that is to help women connect with their cycles and connect with nature more deeply, just to create a feeling of centeredness within not just ourselves, but in the whole universal experience of being on this planet, on the earth. And also I offer backpacking trips, which I don't have any of those on the calendar right now. Those will start up again in the spring. And then I will be doing a surfing workshop next summer as well, too, with a surfer. So outdoor adventures with a heavy dose of personal connection.
I love that. I love that your work bridges the worlds of earth connection and embodiment and presence and self-relationship and all of that. That's just really neat. So today we're going to be diving into a framework, essentially, that you have developed over time around archetypes, like cyclical archetypes that you relate to and help other people to understand. I know that I did have a guest on last spring. It's been a while, but I had a guest on last spring who did talk about archetypes of the menstrual cycle. And she kind of shared about them in her own way. She's got an oracle deck around cyclical archetypes. It's really neat. I will link to that in the show notes. But I feel like the way that you perceive our cycle is just slightly different and is really interesting. So I'm excited to hear about it. Before we dive into that, I'm just curious if people are new to the concept of archetypes, if that's just something like a different term for them, how would you describe what they are?
So archetypes are essentially just patterns of energy that live inside all of us. They run through all of humanity, basically. If you go to different cultures, you'll see similar archetypes across the world, across time, way back in the day versus modern times. We have similar archetypes that show up. So, for example, one of them is the hero archetype. This is one of the most recognized ones. If you go to any culture, they'll have their own version of what a hero is. It might vary slightly. Within all of us, we have our own individual perceptions of what that archetype is, but the general feel of it is the same. So if you say hero, we all kind of have a collective idea of what that is. And so they're really universal, and that's because they exist in this collective unconscious, which is a term that Carl Jung came up with. And it's just this really deep part of our minds that contains inherited memories that are common to all of humankind. So when we're born, we think of ourselves as this new person. It's true. I've never been on this earth in this exact being, but there are these memories that live inside me that have been passed down through all the generations of humans as we've tried to survive since the beginning of human time. Oftentimes we're living completely unaware of the influence of these archetypes on us, but they actually really do influence us in a very big way. And so we'll be talking about that today, at least in terms of the four archetypes that I tie in with the four phases of the menstrual cycle. And there are a lot of archetypes. There aren't just four archetypes or 10 archetypes. There's a lot out there. And some of them have overlap with each other, and there can be a lot of fluidity between them. And also people name them all different things. And so I always encourage people to recognize your own archetypes, whatever you're feeling, and you can name them whatever you want to name them. The name isn't really that important. It's just a way to recognize them in yourself.
I feel like culturally there can be some, like you were saying, hero, like everyone kind of gets the hero concept. Mm-hmm. But when we're thinking like culturally, there can be certain archetypes, or even subculturally, there could be certain archetypes that resonate more. So Can you just give a couple more examples of archetypes so that like it's graspable?
Yeah, definitely. So there's a teacher archetype as well. You know, in all cultures, there are people that teach and they're seen as wise or respected. If you say teacher to anybody, even though they might not have a teacher that teaches in like a K-12 system or something like that, they have an idea of who a teacher is because they pass on their wisdom and they help someone understand something. And the trickster is another example as well. So we have a lot of examples of this. The class clown, that's an example of a trickster or something like that. Or in mythology, sometimes there are tricksters. The raven and coyote are often seen as tricksters. So those are a couple extra examples of what archetypes are.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. I think it's just when we're first understanding a concept, it can be really helpful to get examples of like, oh no, I do get that.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, so with this, like with this concept of archetype, how do you find that incorporating these ideas and these archetypes into our lives can support us just on a general level?
There are several different ways that working with archetypes can help us. One of them is just feeling a sense of connection. So most of us probably know that as human beings, we crave connection with each other, just feeling connected to a whole. We don't want to feel alone or isolated. And so being able to tap into and feel these feelings within us of an archetype that all human beings know about can help us feel connected. For example, if I'm feeling nervous about doing something, I can tap into maybe the hero archetype or an archetype that has a brave feeling to it. And I can be like, you know what? Other people have done this before, you know, and think, just conjure up any type of hero that I have in my own brain, whether it's a sports figure, whether it's Joan of Arc, any of those feelings of hero. If I can conjure that up and feel connected to that, then I don't feel quite as alone. Does that make sense?
Yeah. To me, you know, when I think about that, I tend to go towards animals or plants in my brain. Mm-hmm. It's like, what am I calling into a space to, or even like the sun or the earth, like those larger energetic patterns really that we can take on, like we can bring them into us. So for me, if I'm feeling like I need strength, then I might call on, let's say, like a lion or something to kind of bring that energy into my space. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, definitely. That's good to recognize too, that archetypal energy can extend beyond just human.
I'm real into the non-human world. So.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a huge part. That's why I do the nature connection stuff, which we'll probably talk about a little bit at the end. It's so important for us to feel integrated, not just with other humans, but integrated with everything, because we're all living here, part of this earth, and we're all interconnected in all these ways. I remember this exercise that my eighth grade science teacher had us do called the Web of Life, where he each gave us a card that had something on it, like sun or earthworms or grass or things like that. And we took a ball of yarn and had to toss it to somebody that we felt connected to. So if I was a sun, I could toss it to the grass and say, I make the grass grow. And so we did it until it was a little spider web of string. And then he told us to one person let go of something, like, okay, so what if earthworms disappeared? And the person that had earthworms had to let go. And then, you know, after a few things, you can see this web totally collapsing. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really great visual experience that I actually think about a lot. Just like, we are all so connected. Like, I can't ignore the earthworms. I can't ignore the squirrels, even though they don't seem like they're directly impacting me. Like, just that experience, that web, they are impacting me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is true. We are deeply intertwined with our entire ecology around us, and honestly, the entire world. Sometimes it is hard to fathom that. I don't think it's easy for us as humans to really extend ourselves and to feel at that level. And it's so true. So that's a really neat exercise, actually. I feel like we could do that as adults too.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. And I was thinking, like, as kids, kind of going back to childhood, I feel like there's so much around archetypes, is like when we're kids and we're just kind of coming into the world and we're learning about the energy of something. It's almost like we do start to take on. I'm actually hanging out a lot with this almost 4-year-old who lives nearby. And it's been really interesting because he's really into Paw Patrol, which I don't know if anybody listening watches that show, but you probably
my nephew. Yep. So.
But he's really into Paw Patrol. And it's like each of the characters has a certain energy that they bring. So he'll like get into character and just be like, oh, this one is like the savior, essentially. I don't know all the names of them, but like this one is kind of like the savior one, like your tank, maybe the hero one, but it comes out and like goes and puts out fires and rescues mm-hmm. people. And it's like that, even that, we're learning at a very young age what archetypes are.
Mm. Yeah. And that's actually another point I was going to touch on, was what archetypes help us do is they help us develop capabilities that we never knew we had. So we can look at a character outside of us, whether it's in Paw Patrol or a story or in real life or something like that, and think, what are they doing? How are they doing it? And we can learn from them, and we can develop those capabilities in ourselves because we have the sort of organized perspective of what they are. So that person is the savior, or that person is the caring one that's always making sure that everybody's okay, or things like that. And we can look at that and try and emulate that in ourselves. And you're totally right. Kids learn from those archetypes so easily.
Yeah. And then life just continues to be more and more complex and complicated. And we just find our way into nuance. But archetype, we could still bring out those archetypal mm-hmm. energies in ourselves. So I love that. What else do you feel like incorporating archetypes into our lives help us to do?
We can use them to find balance in ourselves as well. So all archetypes have a shadow side. And the shadow side is essentially the natural powers of the archetype running unchecked and out of balance. So it's almost like an excess it's an excess or deficiency of that energy in us. And so if we can balance that energy and kind of help it feel in the middle, then we can feel more at ease in our lives. Because when things get out of balance, we notice, and it throws a lot of other things off. So recognizing their shadow sides. And for each archetype, their shadows, there are multiple shadows, and they may look different in different people. And I will give some examples of those later. So if you don't understand what a shadow is right now, that's okay. Like, we'll get into that.
Yeah, I love that there are just these different ways that archetypes can actually support us. And I think it's really just the concept. It's like, it's probably not even limited to just the ones you're sharing. It's like the concept that we can actually bring the energies, even from our childhood, even those things from our childhood, but any kind of storyline or myth that we've ever heard, or even when we're watching movies, you know, there's often like characters and qualities to characters, and we can become some of that. I love the idea of actively incorporating the archetype into our lives more. I'm curious now, let's dive into the menstrual cycle archetypes that you have to share with us. Can you just start by naming them, and then we'll go deeper into each of them?
Yeah, I'll name off the four. And like I said, you can name your archetypes whatever you want. I name these because it's just way easier to talk about an archetype with a name associated with them rather than trying to describe them all. So these are ones that I have come up with that fit what I feel about them. You will probably recognize these energies in yourself, but you may have a different name that you associate with them already, or you want to choose a different name, and that's totally fine. So the four that I have are the Virgin Warrior, which represents the first part of our cycle. Well, I call it the first part of my cycle. I think about it that way, but there is no really first part of our cycle, right? Because it's a circle. So that's the follicular phase. And then there is the mother creator archetype. And she's the one that appears around ovulation for me. And then the wild woman enchantress, which is associated with premenstrual phase. And then the wise woman crone, who is the menstrual phase archetype. And also all of these there's not like four segmented parts of the cycle. I just want to be clear about that. It's very fluid and flowy. They can kind of flow into each other and influence each other. And it's not like, okay, it's day seven, I'm switching into this archetype now. So yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Acknowledging that everyone, actually, I think another thing to acknowledge is that everyone has their own unique experience with their menstrual cycle. So yes, like what you're going to offer is going to be kind of a generalized concept and might be true for you and might be true for a lot of people. But one of the things that comes up around cyclical awareness and people living with the cycle syncing concept is that some people will have different experiences in each of the phases, and it's okay. Like, you don't have to fit the mold. Like, your archetypes, your particular cycle is yours. So for some people, ovulation can be like, oh, it's this time that I want to be in the world and I want to be outward and I have so much energy and I'm maybe in this kind of creative phase. And for other people, they can actually feel a little sick, or maybe they have pain. Some people can have pain around ovulation time. So that might be not coming from the exact same lens, because everybody has their unique experience. And I'm excited to hear yours. So
yeah, 100% your experiences, whatever you're experiencing. So yeah, definitely don't let anything that I say feel like you need to fit that box. And also, we all have our own home season, and to recognize that like some of us feel our best in the summer, like you said, and some of us feel our best in the winter. And to honor that, we all are just so different that, yeah, just honor it.
Totally. So, okay. So let's dive into each of these. I really am looking forward to hearing the way that you're going to break them down. So Virgin Warrior.
So virgin, I like to point out that word doesn't apply to any sort of sexual expression. It could, but the idea of virgin to me is really just that feeling of like a very first time experience with something. And the warrior aspect being a strong outward take charge perspective as well. So the Virgin Warrior for me shows up in my inner springtime, which is that time right after bleeding, when things can feel really fresh and new. And this can also be tied in, these cycles can also be tied in with the moon cycle as well. So this would be the waxing moon. So in all of these cycles, we have this feeling of growth. Spring is growing, the waxing moon is growing. This archetype can also be associated with your really young years, like after you've started your period, you know, teenage, early 20 years. And that's, again, beginning of growth into adulthood, pushing boundaries and having first time experiences and learning who you are. And so there's this newness to it. And it also comes with this curiosity and playfulness and enthusiasm of like, what's possible out there? Because it's, like I said, there is no beginning or end to the cycle, but it does feel like the beginning of something. It's the growth phase, the ascending phase. I see the Virgin Warrior as being somebody who has not yet been told no by the world. If you think back to when you're a teenager or something and you're telling your parents like all these things that you're going to do, or you have all these ideas and your parents are like, yeah, whatever. And you like, don't believe them. You're like, yeah, that's going to so work out for me and stuff. And then you get a little older and a little wiser and you look back and you're like, what was I thinking? But that new fresh virgin energy is so important for us because it helps us suspend belief in the quote unquote real world, you know, and that's so essential because the quote unquote real world isn't really real, you know, it's whatever we create it to be. And so that energy is really important for us to have ideas and put things into practice and just try things out and be like, what works, what doesn't work? What do I want to do differently?
That makes a lot of sense. And I think anyone can kind of understand that concept from the season of spring, like you're speaking of the season of spring. Mm-hmm. Really is that beginning of that whole new cycle yet again.
Like, yeah,
newness, like that feeling of everything is possible. There's so much hope. There's so much possibility.
And so in the menstrual cycle, this could show up around day 5 or something where you start to feel like a rise of energy. And I like to just point out that all of these phases are, they're sort of like a wave that you're catching the wave gradually. And so if you've ever been body surfing, there's that feeling of standing in the water and waiting to feel that swell taking you. And if you jump too early or too late, you don't catch the wave in the way that will carry you all the way to shore. And so this is a big reason I'm so excited to work with my friend who's a surfer this next year to do a surf workshop, is that feeling of gradually catching that wave. And I feel like the Virgin Warrior inner springtime is that epitome of the wave catch, where it's like I'm coming out of that darkness at menstruation and starting to feel that newness and optimism and growth, and to really recognize that coming up in myself. Because when I was living not cycle aware back in my 20s, my days would just go on and just feel the same every day. And now I can really tune into what is happening today and what is this feeling that I'm having? Where is it taking me? So the Virgin Warrior is like that. I'm catching this wave vibe.
Love that. I love that you're going to bring surfing into it. That is just really neat. What about the shadow side of the Virgin Warrior?
So the shadow side, we can have self-destructive behaviors. We've got the warrior part of us, which is really strong. She's got a lot of energy. And if we aren't using that productively outside of ourselves, we can turn that internally onto ourselves. If we're not like slaying out in the real world, you know, and doing something that really lights us up, we can turn that internally and get into things like addictions, perfectionism, eating disorder, and things like that. We also have denying our own individuality. So I think it's helpful to think of Virgin Warrior in terms of, you know, those younger years, the teens and early 20s. So if you think about how that part of your life is really about establishing who you are outside of your parental control or whatever you had growing up as a young child and becoming your own person as an adult. And so if we just go along with what other people want and do people pleasing and we're afraid to set boundaries, we're afraid to choose what we want, we can get into this shadow of denying our own individuality, sort of becoming somebody else's idea of what we want to be, whether that's a friend or a parent or somebody else who's telling us who we should be. And then the third shadow is being out of alignment with your own soul, you know, not knowing who we are or feeling directionless. Maybe there's too much information coming at us and we can't choose anything. And so if we don't do that work to give ourselves that self-love and that space and that encouragement to be who we really truly want to be and kind of shut out ideas of the rest of the world, then we can become out of alignment with ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's really neat to actually bring in the shadow pieces and to have that be a part of the awareness. Even our cycles, like this could be something that is happening every month. And regardless of when, it's just like even having awareness of, are we going into some of these patterns that we have, whatever the behavioral patterns are for us.
Yeah, because once we start to recognize shadows showing up in us, it's not like, oh, get that away from me, like shove that back in the closet type thing. It's a piece of awareness of, oh, this is coming up for me. I wonder why, like what's going on that I'm not tending to, that I'm not nourishing myself with. So it's just a piece of information. It's not something to get rid of or deny.
Yeah. And I mean, we need, like, in order to be fully dynamic, vital beings, we actually need like a balance of parts of ourselves. It's not that we need to be hanging out in shadow places, but mm-hmm. of course there will be darkness and there will be light. And that is the age old storyline, but it yeah. happens inside ourselves too.
The yeah. other thing about shadows too, is that when we get into the shadows and we, so I think about like a pendulum sort of, you know, when the pendulum's hanging straight down, that's like what us being in balance. And we can swing either more to the dark side or more to the light side or whatever. If we get into the shadows really deep and far, like that actually tells us where our edge is. And so that helps us calibrate, because if we don't know where our edges are, we can be thinking we're hanging out in the middle and really we don't know where we are on that pendulum spectrum. Sometimes when I do hit that edge of the deepest shadows, I'm like, huh, okay, yeah. So this is really telling me how deep and how far away from my true authentic self I am. And that's really good information, because before I thought I was really far away from it and I was actually much closer to my true and authentic self. I don't know if that idea makes sense, but I just think of that pendulum.
Yeah, I think that that can definitely make sense. It's common too for people to go into a darker, whatever that thing is. It doesn't have to be dark. It could be just like some quality of ourselves that is not as desirable of a quality. Mm-hmm. to feel it express itself and then be like, whoa, that is not who I am, or that's not who I want to be. That is not who I would like to be choosing to be in this lifetime. And to recognize there is like, oh, wow, this is so different than this other part of me. Yeah, I appreciate that concept.
Experience by contrast, and like contrast is okay. It teaches us.
Yes, there's so much that teaches us. Okay, so how about the Mother Creator archetype?
So the Mother Creator represents our ovulation time, or that's when her energy can show up. And she represents also a feeling of inner summer. If we're going with the seasons, if we're going with the moon cycle, shows up at the full moon. And then in our life cycles, it's that phase that some people choose to become mothers of children and other people choose to become mothers of other things, you know? So that term mother isn't necessarily about raising children. It's about, and that's why I put the creator word with it too, the mother creator, because mothering energy is really an idea of bringing something into this world and nurturing it. So it could be a child, or it could be a business, or it could be a relationship, or anything that you feel like is really your creative outlet. It could be artwork, things like that. And so her energy has a lot of pleasure to it. It's this feeling of her energy being like at the top of a circle. You know, if you're looking at a circle on a wall or something like that, the Mother Creator is at the very top of the circle. That rising energy, we've come from the bottom of the circle at menstruation, and energy has ascended through the Virgin Warrior, and now we're at the Mother Creator. So there's this feeling of pleasure, of like arrival, like I've arrived here, you know, like I don't need to go anywhere right now. I'm just experiencing this pleasure and joy. And there's a feeling of abundance, fullness, and also that feeling of nurturing and care, like very attentive to outside of us. And so in our menstrual cycles, in our ovulation phase, we may feel more social. We may feel more like taking care of other people, not so focused on ourselves. We might feel charismatic or magnetic. And again, it might not show up like that. There might be a different thing that you're experiencing that in that moment, but there also might be a feeling of fullness and abundance around that feeling too, even though it doesn't show up as like being super social or whatever. So some of these things we tie to certain experiences, like, oh, if I'm feeling pleasure, that must mean I'm smiling all the time, or I'm doing things with friends or things like that. And pleasure might show up in different ways for you. So I just encourage people to take these energies and see how they show up in their own lives.
So like in the example of surfing, what would this be?
This would be like riding the wave, like you're on top of it.
Uh-huh. Like you're on it. Like you're not just like catching the wave, you're riding the wave. The wave is there and you've got that energy. It's interesting. I also think about this time as a very, I mean, juicy, you mentioned pleasure, but mm-hmm. also like desire mm-hmm. to create. Well, desire to experience pleasure for sure, like in our bodies, sensuality and sexuality, but also mm-hmm. desire to connect with others in a way that is creative of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then what about the shadow side of the Mother Creator?
So we have being controlling. So if we have a really clear idea of what we want things to turn out like, we might be like, well, I have this vision and it needs to turn out this way. And we know that the universe doesn't always work that way. If we're trying to create something, but we're trying to control every aspect of that creation, then we can become overprotective, overbearing, smothering. And we can see this with, you know, mothering really is like, if a mother is being really controlling towards their child, they're not letting that creation of theirs grow and be who they want to be, because that child is not the same person as the mom, right? Some children grow up with that experience of having that control aspect. And so that's one clear way we can see that, but also in our own lives, if we're trying to create something like a business or a piece of artwork. And I'm sure some of you will have heard a story of this, of like, I was trying to force this creation to happen and then I just let go and like all of a sudden it happened. So that control is the shadow side where we're not enjoying the process and saying yes to the pleasure part of the process. We're just trying to force the creation by itself. We also have martyrdom. So that's putting others before ourselves. So because the mother creator's energy is naturally a nurturing, nourishing energy, caring, helpful, things like that, we can definitely take that too far to another extreme where we're neglecting our own self-care. We're putting others before ourselves too much. Not that putting others before ourselves is an entirely bad thing at all, but again, there's that balance that we need. And there can also be codependency of, you know, I need you to do this thing so that I feel okay, or I need things to work out my way so that I feel okay. And then another shadow that we have is being fearful. So this is a feeling of, I want to put something out there. I want to create something, but I don't know how. I don't know what. I'm afraid that if I put it out there, it will be criticized. I'm afraid that if I put it out there, it might not survive. And so we kind of turn off our creative energy flow there.
That last one is interesting because it's like, even though a person might be in a place where they feel creative or they feel that seed of life that's in them, instead of expressing it, which would feel like the natural flow, actually inhibiting it because of that fear. And then, of course, if we're like holding that stuff in over time, that can cause different patterns and challenges and really like even health issues for us if we're like expressing when we have something to express. And what about the wild woman, the enchantress?
Yeah, the wild woman enchantress. She was one that I did not understand for a long time. I think I kind of like understood her around the edges, but she really is, she's the shapeshifter. She does not give a clear view of herself. And so she represents our premenstrual phase, which I think is the most infamous phase of our cycle for a lot of reasons in our culture. And she also represents our inner autumn in the moon cycle, the waning moon. And then in our life cycle, it's that perimenopause, like transition from mother phase of life to the crone phase of life, where things are changing a lot. And because our culture values so much the younger phases of the cycle, there's a lot of dismissing of this phase or just disrespect for it, I think. And so we've internalized this a lot. And there, I think there's a lot of healing to be done around the wild woman enchantress archetype. But in her essence, what she is, I mean, the word that always comes to me is chaos, but chaos, I think, has a very negative connotation. Chaos does not have to be negative. Chaos is just chaos, right? So in the chaos, there are all these other powers of release, like finally just not caring about something that we were holding on to for so long. So letting go, unearthing things, like things being stirred up, you know, there's a feeling of letting go, but then also things coming up as well. Like I also think of tornadoes or storms or things like that. Like things are just flying around. You don't know where they are and where they're coming from, where they're going. And then there's also this feeling of insight too, and intuition and magic, because it's so chaotic. It's like all the rules go out the window. Like I'm not standing on solid ground anymore. The rug has been pulled out from underneath me. And although that feels really scary, there's a lot of power in that too, because suddenly we see that things don't have to be the way that we thought they had to be. And that can be very freeing. It's got that double-edged sword of just like maybe extreme fear of things not being the way that we thought they were, but also the extreme freedom of things not being the way that we thought they were.
Yeah, there can be a liberation in that. So back to the surfing analogy, I'm curious, where are we at this point?
So full disclosure, I'm not an actual surfer. That is why I'm doing this workshop with an actual surfer. But to me, it's like the tumbling in the waves, really, of like, maybe you fell off the wave, or that, you know, when I'm body surfing or something and you get consumed by the wave and you don't know which direction is up. You have to surrender. You really do have to surrender in that moment because there's nothing you can do. You can't fight the wave. You can't fight the ocean.
I'm not a surfer either, but I've talked to surfers and I do know, like, absolutely, like, you catch that wave, you're on the wave, but you can absolutely, like, lose your balance and mm-hmm. end up inside the wave. I think that's what you're speaking to a little bit of, like, definitely. Whoa. Yeah. I just like bringing that back up because it's kind of neat to think about, you know, like, this is all the different cycles. Like, waves are cycles. Like, they are constantly, you know, when you go to the ocean, it's literally wave. Mm-hmm. Wave, you know, really, it's this beautiful, constant cycle that's happening of water, which is what we are as humans. It's like mm-hmm. so much water. We are all connected. You know, it's like waves, it's our bodies, it's the moon. I mean, it's all of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, everything is cyclical. And the more we can understand that we are cyclical beings ourselves and not linear beings, the more we can find our true place in nature.
I totally agree with that. So, what about the shadow side of the enchantress?
One of her shadows is definitely depression, despair, that feeling of dissatisfaction, hopelessness. That's that feeling of being under the wave and not having the faith that you're going to pop out of it, which is 100% normal and okay. It's really hard when we get into those moments of feeling like we don't know which direction is up, or we don't know, like, we want to be balanced. We want to feel like our feet are on solid ground. And when we cling to that idea, we can get into that depression. We also have isolation. So the Wild Woman Enchantress has sort of a feeling of a need for individualism because she's sort of tearing apart her rules of the world. She maybe gets into a little bit of individualism, which is necessary. So if you think about the premenstrual phase of the cycle, I know that I definitely have this experience and a lot of other women do have this experience. And if you don't, like, that's okay too. But that feeling of, I need to get away from everybody. I need to go hole up somewhere by myself. Like, I can't talk to anybody. Like, if somebody does talk to me, I want to rip their face off, you know, that kind of feeling. And so, but we can take that too far and feel like we're just shutting ourselves out from our community, not just during our premenstrual phase, but if this shadow is coming up for us just in general in our lives, we can feel like if we're depressed, we feel isolated, we feel lonely, we feel like nobody understands us, we feel like nothing's ever going to help us. And that's where that isolation piece comes in. And then there's self-criticism too. So one of the main things that can come up during the premenstrual phase is a feeling of inner critic. This is like taking ourselves too seriously, really listening to the voices in our head that are telling us we should have done something better or differently. And we really take that on as our true selves, like all those criticism, like, this is me, I guess I suck, or things like that. We're using them for just beating ourselves down rather than using them for growth. And again, in the menstrual cycle, I know for me, this comes up really loud in my inner autumn, my premenstrual phase. And then in a week or two, it's gone. And I'm like, oh, wow, like, I'm totally fine, you know? And so I have to just kind of roll with that and be like, okay, this is just that phase of the cycle. But again, it can be really hard. It can also show up for us just in general in phases of our lives where maybe we've lost our job or some big life change or things like that, where things are just not the way we thought they were. And we get down on ourselves because we feel like we did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's not that. It's the Wild Woman Enchantress is stirring things up in your life. She's brought her little tornado and it's okay. And so we can look at those experiences of the depression, isolation, self-criticism, and just be like, I know you're trying to protect me and I don't really need those right now.
Mm. Yeah. I'm even thinking about it as fall time, as autumn, like where we are right now, where like bursting energy of summer is waning and we are heading towards the darkness. We're not quite there yet. At least where we live, you know, the deciduous leaves on the trees are falling and everything is changing. And it's also like getting close to the end of the year. So it's so much easier to feel grief in this time and to feel sadness and to feel loss. And then also to kind of reflect back on our year and like, what did I accomplish this year? And then to mm-hmm. think, it's easy to be like, oh, wow, I didn't accomplish, you know, there's so many goals that I had set that maybe I didn't accomplish. And so it's like easy to feel like you're saying that self-criticism, even in the wheel of the year. It's interesting to think about it like that.
And also Halloween, I love to bring this up about the Wild Woman Enchantress, because mm-hmm. she goes with that inner autumn, that waning energy, the descending energy. Yeah. And so Halloween is that time where we say that the veil between the two worlds thins, the spirits, you know, come out and walk the earth. That's why we have the ghosts and the skeletons. And I feel like in the inner autumn phase, the premenstrual phase, that we get our own ghosts and skeletons coming out of our subconscious mind. I feel like the veil between the conscious and the subconscious thins a little bit. And we get these ghosts coming up and wandering our minds and kind of creating chaos and havoc in our lives. I love to tie that in because it helps me feel at peace with things sometimes. When I see that coming up in my menstrual cycle, whether it's in May or in October, you know, I know that that feeling of Halloween is kind of like, that's what's going through my mind right now. There's some ghosts and skeletons in there, and it gives a little bit of levity to it.
So it's like more, you can have more self-compassion because you can relate in some way to mm-hmm. that energy.
Also feel at peace that like, okay, this is what's supposed to be happening. This is the mm-hmm. cycle. Like, I'm on track. If I felt the exact same way every single day, like I would be feeling concerned, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the things that I've found over time working with clients and just with friends and knowing people for a long time now who've been really aware of their cycles is just, it's really interesting for me to see how much when people symptom track, and actually start to see, oh, this thing actually happens every month for the 5 to 7 days before I bleed. That's something that I can actually not only like anticipate, but also it's like, oh, I can accept that about myself. You know, it's not something that is true for me all the time. So really to come into that place of more awareness and the relationship with our cycles and the beautiful hormonal waves that we experience in our bodies that sometimes can be imbalanced. And there are ways to work with those. And I think that when they get to such, like you talk about the shadow side, you know, when they get to an imbalanced enough place that they're really disruptive in your life, like they don't necessarily have to go to that place of complete destruction. There are ways to help to ease them. And still some of that energetic signature will be there. So yeah, I think just the acceptance, I've just seen how empowering it has been for people. So let's dive into the wise woman and the crone.
Yes. So she represents our menstruation, time of menstruation. In the season, she's the winter time, and in the moon cycle, she's the new moon or the dark moon. She represents a deep universal wisdom. And so she is this, when we are reconnected to the source, that oneness, it's almost like we've died off. And I see this in sort of an ego sense of like when our ego dies off and we just can melt back into the whole, because we come into this world with an ego so that we can interact with everything around us. And when we go back to the spirit world, when we die, like we don't need that exact ego anymore. And so I associate her with an ego death, but in a good way, like she's coming back to the universe and just doesn't need that ego anymore. And there's that wiseness too of being able to look back on all those experiences she's had and be like, oh yeah, you know, like I've learned all these lessons and be able to pass those on too. And so with menstruation, a lot of times we get called into rest, whether this is by extreme cramps that we can't get out of bed or extreme tiredness, lethargy, fatigue, where we feel like we can't do anything. All the plans go out the window. Sometimes our body just does it for us. Sometimes we can choose and be like, you know what, I'm going to take this day if we have that space. Sometimes it can be a whole day if it's a weekend maybe, or sometimes it might just be 10 minutes lying on the ground or something like that. She really calls us to rest and reflect on ourselves. And also, she just has this gift of peace. We can kind of let go of all the things that are bothering us and just sink into everything's going to be okay. I've heard this called like the mother hug or something like that, where the universe almost feels like it's hugging us and letting us know that everything is okay. And so there's that wiseness and peace that comes with her. And I like to point out too that there's connection between the archetypes that are opposite each other on a circle. So this would be the wise woman crone and the mother creator. Like I said, with the mother creator, there's a feeling of like arrival. Like I've become here and now I have this ability to just be present and enjoy the pleasure that's in this moment. And it's kind of a similar thing for the wise woman crone. Like she's hit the bottom of the circle and it's just this feeling of I'm here. I don't need to go anywhere. I can just experience this feeling of being nowhere and everywhere all at the same time.
It's really interesting that you say it that way, because actually on a recent podcast, I had a guest, Robin Rose Bennett. I will link to that in the show notes. And she is heading into her wisdom years for sure. And one of the things that she mentioned about being in that time of her life, because she's been in relationship with her womb for a long time, is that she's been seeing how every phase. She feels like she's experiencing every phase and no phase all at once. Like she can kind of bring it. It's really interesting. And it's kind of something about the way you just stated that reminded me of how she expressed that experience. So
yeah, I think of it as through these two of like a harvest cycle almost. So when you plant your seed and it's growing, that's like the spring. And then there's like the full growth expression is like the summer, and then the harvest is like the fall, and then the winter is like the dormancy. And so I think of that as whether it's my menstruation or it's, you know, the end of my life where I come back to this phase where the wise woman crone archetype is really strong. It's a feeling of returning to the earth, composting basically, like being broken down, not broken down in like a bad way, but returning to the earth.
Yeah, returning to that kind of universal essence of existence. Yeah. And being able to reflect and have gathered so much wisdom from each of the phases. So really being able to have both of those at the same time. So what about shadow sides of the wise woman crone?
For the wise woman crone, one of the things that can come up is maybe bitterness. And so, like I said, with the wild woman enchantress, she can be disrespected by our culture because our culture values the younger phases. A similar thing with the wise woman crone, although I think she maybe has more respect because of the elderly wisdom. And I think we still have a little bit of a sense of that. But there could be a bitterness. Oh, you're not listening to me for my wisdom. So if a wise woman crone is trying to share wisdom in whatever way it is, whether it's giving advice to somebody or in your job, like say you have a seniority position and you've seen this thing happen and go wrong so many times, and you bring that up and give the feedback to people and everybody else is like, no, we want to keep doing it this way or whatever. You might feel that bitterness of like, I've gone through this, like I have all this wisdom and no, but nobody's listening to me. So that could be one of the shadows. Another one is emotional detachment, focusing too much on the intellectual side of things, that intellectual wisdom, and being removed from feeling sensations and the body, and not getting into the body wisdom, getting more into like the mind wisdom. Of course, we need both of those things, but we need that balance. Also, this could show up as pride, like maybe thinking, because I'm in this elderly phase, this crone phase or whatever, wherever you're at in your cycle, or if it's just coming up for you in life, like I said, I'm thinking maybe in a job where you maybe have that seniority position and you feel like you are that wise elder, you could feel pride, like putting too much self-worth into that feeling of wisdom and then not wanting to admit if you were wrong, or like maybe somebody comes in with a better idea and really wanting to hold on to your idea because it feels right and like you've earned this and you've worked for it through all your years of building that wisdom. So those are a few ways that they can show up for the wise woman.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing all of that. I'm curious, like, how do you see each of these phases showing up in your own life?
Here's a really good example. Yesterday, I'm currently in the wild woman enchantress, my inner autumn premenstrual phase. But yesterday was the last gorgeous day we were going to have. It was going to start raining. And I really wanted to go for a run. And a lot of times I'll take my premenstrual time as a time for rest. But I felt that wild woman enchantress come up in me and be like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. Like, let's just go run. Like, she just had this freeing feeling of like, let's go run, you know, and enjoy the sun and everything. So I went and did that. And then during the run, I started to feel like tired. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to, you know, rest and walk. Her energy was just helping me sort of like that chaos energy, sort of like, okay, well, I was running, but now I'm walking and now I'm paying attention to this. You know, it's kind of just like this jump around, whatever the moment is. It just is that. In contrast to that, if I was in the virgin warrior part of my phase, the you know, like day 5, 6, 7 or something like that, maybe how I would have approached that feeling of tiredness would be like, no, I'm going to run through this. And that would have felt really good to me because that virgin warrior energy would be coming up of it's going to feel so satisfying when you get done. And in the wild woman enchantress phase of my cycle, that's not what feels good to me. What feels good to me is I'm going to look at that bird. I'm going to, you know, do this. Or,
and I think part of it is too paying attention to ourselves and how we respond in the different phases. And then maybe even tracking that over time could be a neat way to explore it, is like actually like having some kind of journal and just tracking over time and be like, how do I respond to this in different phases of my cycle? I totally see how my attention does not stay as focused. I'm also in my enchantress phase right now, and I totally see how my attention does not stay focused in the same way as it does earlier in my cycle. I am so very aware of that.
Yeah. When I worked with, I was a personal trainer for a while, and I was working with clients, you know, having to explain an exercise or whatever and guide them through it and stuff. I would definitely notice in my inner autumn enchantress phase, it would just come out as word jumble. In my virgin warrior phase, I'd explain everything and be like, bam, bam, bam. Like I just could explain it so well and like connect with the people. And yeah, it just, it's a, you're just a much different person through your entire cycle.
We are. And that's what's so amazing about being cyclical beings, actually. And being able to experience our natural cycles regularly is just like, oh, wow, we do get to ride, literally ride the waves of our hormones every year, every month, if we're cycling regularly, pretty much every month. And so getting to know them and feel them. And, you know, I was actually even with Robin, I keep bringing up Robin Rose Bennett, but that's just, you know, the most recent guest that I had on the podcast. And she also was reflecting back to her cyclical years and just how present the cycles were in herself and how she was reminded every month that she had to rest, you know, go inward. Rest. And now that she is beyond her cycle, far beyond her cycling years, she actually has to remind herself to rest. And so maybe orienting herself more to the moon is helpful. Yeah. You know, so it's really interesting when we have, when we're in our cycling years, it is a gift. It's actually a gift.
Yeah, it's so comforting. Like I have a friend who just had a baby and her cycle hasn't come back yet. And she's like, I'm so ready for my cycle to come back.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There are times in our lives where we're not having, or, you know, in perimenopause, like you're saying, it's like kind of that wild time where it's like, is it going to happen? Is it not? Where am I?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It can be really disorienting. And, you know, that's all part of the journey too.
Totally. You, I know that you work so much with nature connection and earth connection. So I'm very curious to hear how you blend the two. Like, how do you see nature connection practices as helpful in deepening our understanding of these archetypes?
Yeah. So on a very simple level, basically nature connection practices tune us into the sensations that we're feeling within ourselves. And because things like our menstrual cycle and feeling these archetypes within ourselves can be so subtle, when we tune into our sensations and practice that and build that ability within ourselves to feel things on a very subtle level, we have more capacity and ability to tap into our cycles and our archetypes. So it helps us become more aware. So we're not just going through life as a series of tasks to get done, not trying to get to the end of our day, just like checking off everything, but we're living rather with a full rich experience of what's going on in every moment, whether that's cramp that I'm feeling or the call to rest or that picking up that wave of the virgin warrior telling us, hey, it's time to go like get out some of those ideas you had. So when we're able to tune into our senses more deeply, that's when the magic of things like the archetypes appear. Because they're so subtle and nuanced and not in our faces, we have to allow ourselves the time and space energetically to tune into those. And so one of the big practices that I do with people is to have them do a sit spot where you go and literally just sit in nature and just observe. And it's, there's not really any agenda around it. The agenda really is just to notice what's coming in through your senses. Like, how is the breeze hitting you on your face? Like, what do you smell on the air? What is the temperature on your skin? What colors are you seeing? You know, what shadows and light are you seeing? What are you hearing? How far away is it? How close are things? These all help us. It's like a muscle. Like if you don't use your sensations, you lose them. So when we're sitting on computers all the time, we're in a very sensation deficient state where, I mean, basically we've tuned everything out, you know, and I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you look up from your computer and just like everything just feels disorienting. You know, you're like, I don't even know where I am. I don't know what time of day it is. Like I haven't tuned into my senses in 3 hours. Yeah, it just helps us bring us back to our senses so that we can connect with these things that I just talked about.
So a sit spot and then doing that throughout the cycle.
Yeah. So you can do it throughout the cycle. And then we can also tie in other experiences with your cycle. So like for the virgin warrior, things that I like to do out in nature are like, go do something exhilarating, like go jump in cold water, go for a trail run, go on a really long hike, climb a rock, like climb a peak or a tree or things like that. So something exhilarating to feed the virgin warrior. And this could be during that phase of your cycle, or it could be when you feel that that energy just come up in yourself, because they don't always come up like at that exact part in your cycle. Then for the mother creator, that could be something like exploring a give and receive relationship with nature. So that could be like going out into nature very ethically, harvesting something, asking permission first, making sure there's enough of a population of whatever you're harvesting that you can take some without damaging it. And then use that to make something, create with it, like make medicine, make some art, and then go back and give back to the land, whether that's a song or a prayer or pouring some water on the ground and express your gratitude. So that give and receive relationship is really great for feeding the mother creator. For the Wild Woman Enchantress, some of the things that I like to associate with her in nature are just going to sit with a tree or plant and listen to it. Tap into your intuition, disconnect from everything that seems reasonable to you, and just listen and see what comes up. Things could come up in memories, in thoughts, in sensations in your body. Maybe there's a tingling somewhere or a feeling of aliveness somewhere. That ability to connect on sort of a magical level with things. Mm-hmm. And then for the Wise Woman Crone, that's just rest. Like go find a sun patch and lie in it, lie on a rock, lean up against a tree, let the earth hold you, lie in a bed of flowers. Yeah, those are all practices I like to tie in with archetypes.
I love that we ended with lying in a bed of flowers.
Right?
That's amazing. I also love to like bring that out and just like emphasize that the concept of us menstruating when we are bleeding and when we are in that rest inward phase can be so beautiful as to just lie on the earth or lie in a bed of flowers. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Bree. This has been amazing. You've really shared so many different facets of each of these archetypes that I think it'll be nice for people to go back and kind of review and just get a sense of each of them and really start to feel them in themselves and how they may relate or not. You know, like we said in the beginning, these may or may not resonate, but probably there's something from each of them that will resonate at some point in your life or your cycle. So I'm appreciating that so much. So if folks want to learn more from you or work with you, whether in whatever way, maybe they're super curious about that surfing trip you're doing next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Where can they go? How can they connect?
The best way is to go to my website, wild-moon.org, and sign up for my newsletter. And I also have if you sign up for the newsletter, a free guide to moon journaling, where I know like you talked about keeping track of your cycle. Moon journaling, menstrual cycle journaling is one of the best ways to do that. And it's not complicated at all. It's basically just journaling and then like reflecting on what you see. And so I have a free guide to that as well. And then I'm on Instagram at Wild Moon Experiences, all one word, all spelled the way you think it would be. And yeah, come connect with me on either of those places.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bree. I really, really appreciate this conversation. And I will absolutely put all those links up on the show notes page so that people can access them.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Hey, friends, you have made it to the end of the interview. I am so grateful that you stuck around this entire time. Thank you. Thank you for hanging out, for maybe leaving and coming back, really soaking this in. I hope that you received a lot from Bree's embodied wisdom of her own cycle. And also, I loved at the end how she talked about the nature connection practices and how we can actually, in our own selves, cultivate a relationship with our cycle specific to certain practices that we might do out in nature, right? So like actually, oh, it's our moon time, it's our menstruation time. Maybe we are laying outside. I mean, you could lay outside every single day. You can get into that receptive, restful place every single day. And we actually need that every single day. Obviously, we have to sleep every day. We're humans, we're animals. And to really tune into it in relation to our menstrual cycle is really neat. I also love the idea of the sit spot. And actually, in that sit spot experience, you could be every day or every few days really checking in with yourself throughout your cycle and even journaling from that place of your sit spot to cultivate more of a relationship and an understanding of like how your own senses change over the course of your cycle. All of this, it's just so much to explore. So I hope that you enjoyed it and received a lot. If you would like any of the links to Bree's offerings, you can find those at the show notes page, which will be herbalwomb.com/episode91. herbalwomb.com/episode91. And if you loved this interview, if you feel like there's something in here that you would love to share with someone, you just like think of someone immediately when you heard this episode, please share it with them. That could be in a DM or a text message, or you could share it publicly. Share it publicly on social media. And if you do, tag me, especially if it's on Instagram, at Herbal Womb Wisdom. Okay, friends. Again, really acknowledging the depth of this emotional time, and I hope that you're finding the support that you need. Remember, you can always come back to that practice that I shared in the beginning. It was a very short breath and connection to the earth practice, but you are absolutely welcome to come back to that whenever you need it, whether that is in this time or in the future. Okay, friends, that feels like enough for today. I am very grateful for you. I am so grateful that we're here together. Even in the midst of the challenges that are occurring right now and emerging in the world, we are continuing to weave what we believe. Oh my gosh, that rhymed. We're continuing to weave what we believe. We are. We're continuing to weave this world that actually feels good. Like, we can create this. Yes, we don't have control over necessarily politics and government, each of us individually, but you know what? Together, when we're weaving this world where we have awareness of our relationship to the earth and our relationship to each other, that is what matters, that we are cultivating a world that we can believe in into the future. So I'm very grateful to be a part of that with you. Thank you for being here, and I'm really looking forward to being with you again next week. Until then, live well. Okay.